Well, good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder, and this is BRN AM for Monday, November 9th, 2020. And our top stories today, what's in store and what's in Secure 2.0, and what your Social Security could look like in 2021. Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Alessandra Melito. She is the retirement reporter for MarketWatch. Allie, welcome back to the program. Great to see you this morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. Great to see you as always. I know we chat often. I'm a big fan of your writing and I always enjoy hearing your perspective on the podcast. Let's jump in because I wanted to get your perspective on something you wrote about and something that happened late last week. The passage, or not passage, but the suggestion or new legislation called, that's affectionately being called Secure 2.0. So first, what is it? And give us your thoughts.
Yeah, so Congress came out with a proposal for retirement security, the second one since late last year. In December, they passed the Secure Act. This year, they have 2.0. And honestly, it's just extra provisions that would help Americans' retirement security and allow them to save more, feel more confident about their future retirements and old age, and just, you know, either encourage some people to save more or just get people to the distance if they've already been doing it but they needed a little push. There are numerous provisions inside, like I said. One is about required minimum distribution. So in the Secure Act from December, when they passed that, they had upped the age to 72. It was originally 70 and a half, which means that by 72, you had to take out distributions from most of your retirement accounts, qualified retirement accounts. And they are proposing that that changes to 75 instead, which is good for people who are on the wealthier side and don't need that money, because otherwise, they would have to take it out and it'd be taxed. And, you know, there some people take issue with that. So it allows people to, one, delay distributions if they needed to and or if they wanted to, and two, actually keep putting money into that account. So that's nice. And then there were a few other rules that they had in place, like they wanted to make it easier for military spouses to keep a retirement account intact. A lot of military spouses, they're moving with their husbands and wives when they are stationed here or there, and they, you know, constantly moving around the country or the world. So they wanted to make it easier for them to, like, keep their retirement accounts, because usually, you know, you get to a company and there are rules about when you can start participating in the retirement account. And then, you know, if you leave, what do you do with it? Do you have to roll it into a different account? Do you get to keep it there? It depends on how much money is in those accounts. So they wanted to do that. They also wanted to have something in the works for student loans. So obviously lots of Americans are paying off student loans still. And there's some provision about, like, being able to pay down student loans but still get a company match in your retirement account, because that would be one reason why you're not participating in your retirement account or not meeting the match or even exceeding the match, because you are trying to take down those student loans. And then there were a few other things in there about just, helping companies band together to offer plans, you know. That's especially helpful for small businesses when things could be expensive to, you know, create some sort of retirement system, and also make a few changes to IRAs, I think, around charity or charitable giving. So, it's nice to see that they, amidst all the craziness this year, they're still thinking about retirement security.
We couldn't get a stimulus bill passed or a CARES Act extension, but we can get retirement. And I like you said, I mean, I think there's a lot of good in there. What are the prospects, Allie, for actual passage? I mean, we're coming out of an election, maybe lame duck periods for some incumbents, so what is it like? And they haven't even done bill scoring yet, which typically, you know, there's a lot of nice things in there. But when you get to bill scoring, which means actual cost, from what I can tell, that hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, so honestly, I've spoken to a few people this week about just what the presidential candidate of choice will mean for retirement security. And a lot of people, they had their thoughts on like what either candidate would mean for the next 4 years, at least for retirement savers and retirees. But everybody has been pretty confident that no matter what happens with the presidential election, and even no matter what happens with congressional elections, that this is on the table. This is something that people will take seriously. The bill that was proposed earlier this week around Secure Act 2.0 was bipartisan, which is always nice to see. There are some things that parties don't necessarily agree on when it comes to retirement, which, such as like how Social Security, the system can be fixed, like should it be taxed, should the age be increased, all that. But as far as these little provisions that could make a big difference for a small business or a military spouse or somebody paying off student loans, they seem like they're good with that. Like they can see both sides of, the table, which is nice. So, all this to say that while we still try to figure out everything going on for the next week or month or year,
Hopefully not.
hopefully not. I think that, hopefully something will come of this.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a good sign, and I like the quick, my personal opinion is I like the quick follow-up. And Allie, one of the things that we have talked about with Secure 1.0 or the original Secure, however you, the OG Secure, is that they had the expansion into PEPs or pooled employer plans, which we've talked about. And there was a real clear focus on coverage, something that has really been challenging today, where many people do not have an employer-based retirement plan. Is it your sense that Secure 2.0 really builds upon that and actually helps additionally get more people into the retirement system and putting money away, whether they do it in an IRA, a state-run plan, a PEP, whatever?
Yeah, so I'm not too sure about getting a ton of new people in, although there are like suggestions about how companies can work together, but I do think that it will, this 2.0 focuses more on the people who want to save but have obstacles of their own individually. So like the military spouse, for example, that's a very specific situation. Not everybody is in that, obviously, but it does stop people from saving for retirement when they are constantly moving from company to company. As far as the student loans, that again is a very personal situation. Yes. A lot of people do face that problem in this country because there are so many Americans with student loans, but it does, it does present an opportunity for them to be paying down that debt and also still getting money in their retirement account, even if it's not them putting that money in their retirement account. So I think it builds on the first Secure Act in the sense that it is looking at these little difficulties and obstacles that keep many Americans out of, saving enough for their future, which is nice. And also, it's also important to note that this was first in years,
Yeah,
so
decade.
there's so much more to be said and done. But at least they're like, they're moving along and trying to get something done.
Yeah, I kind of liken this to like a patch, like when you get iOS 14 and then Apple releases 4.1, it's kind of like a patch to that. That's just my personal opinion. I don't want to ascribe that to you. Allie, I want to take a quick break because we may or may not have the election settled, but we're going to talk a little bit about Social Security when we return. So stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings in retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Hi folks, Joe Namath here, and if you're on Medicare, this is important. You're now entitled to eliminate copays and get dental care, dentures, eyeglasses, prescription coverage, in-home aids, unlimited transportation, and home-delivered meals, all at no additional cost. Plus, your zip code may have coverage with the Give Back benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. Look, with the uncertainty of the virus and vaccines, you need to get everything you're entitled to. Here's the bottom line. Call to get significant benefits at no additional cost and see if your zip code has coverage with the Give Back benefit. Millions of people have trusted the Medicare Coverage Helpline. You can too. Call now. It's free.
Call 1-800-924-3920. That's 1-800-924-3920.
Welcome back. We're joined by Alessandra Melito of MarketWatch. Allie, thanks for staying with us this morning.
Yeah, of course.
So we kind of talked about the election in some way, put that into our conversation about the Secure 2.0. Now let's talk about Social Security, because whatever happens with the election, whether it's a new Congress, a new Senate, well, we're going to have a new Congress and new Senate, regardless, and a new president, there's definitely things that need to be addressed with Social Security. What can you tell us there?
Yeah, so I did an article about the presidential candidates and how they approach Social Security. Like most things, it is different. Joe Biden, for example, he has written out a proposal for retirement security in old age, and it includes Social Security in it, of course. He has a few provisions that he is considering that would be something like increasing the limit for payroll tax so that more people who make more than the current limit, which is around $137,000, that they would be continuing to contribute into Social Security for longer. He also wanted to look at who exactly is getting benefits, maybe expand that, and just look also at, I think it was something along the lines of like a minimum benefit for all Americans so that they are above the poverty line. So, you know, he has these thoughts about that. And President Trump at the moment, he didn't have anything on his campaign site. He doesn't talk too much about Social Security, as at least in like a written proposal, but he has mentioned the payroll tax and eliminating that. So those two thoughts, you know, those two paths are very different. With President Trump, if he did something with the payroll tax, first of all, he can't personally do that himself. That is a Congress decision. But if they were to move in that way, they would really have to evaluate how Social Security is going to get funded. I know that the president has mentioned the general revenue before, which is a possibility, but it would need a lot more work and thought into like just how that go, you know, how they go about doing something like that, because Social Security does rely heavily on the payroll tax. There are other, you know, sources of income, of course, for the program, but it's mostly the payroll tax. And that can really stunt the growth or the improvement of Social Security. On the other side, with Joe Biden, I have spoken to who said that these proposals are helpful. They could definitely close the gap that we're currently seeing with Social Security and funding and, running out of money, those two trust funds that support it, you know, allowing them not to run out of money. But there still needs a lot more detail in them. Now, I don't know if they are talking about the behind the scenes and they just haven't posted it in their written documents about their proposals, but there just needs to be more detail about how exactly it works, what the credits are. One analyst I spoke to said that we also need to look closely at Social Security itself, like who is currently getting the benefit, when should they get the benefit, how should they get the benefit, because a lot of Americans do rely on this program, and we need this program to, to last for decades and centuries to come. So not only should we be looking to, fix it, but we should be looking at, just a checkup like people do at the doctors or anything else, just to see how strong it actually is.
Yeah. I was going to say, Allie, you and I have had conversations, I think mostly on the podcast, about Social Security really just being not being enough to spend in retirement, and really the need, the necessity for supplemental savings. I would hazard a guess that could be the direction. I could see something coupled. Maybe there's a hybrid model between the two campaign or the two candidates' proposals. That's usually in Washington, D.C., when you get the policy, there's a middle ground, and maybe that's an area where there's a middle ground. Like, maybe you're not going to see more taxes. Maybe you'll see maybe more of a minimum benefit. Maybe you'll see an extension of the retirement age out further than 65. Maybe that's a consideration for future generations. But regardless, this is something that is important, and many Americans seem to rely on it.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, there have been so many proposals about how to fix Social Security. This is not a new problem. This has been going on for a while now. And we do have some time before the trust funds are expected to run out of money, in which case people would still get their benefits, but it would be like 80% of what they're owed. Social Security is considered the third rail of politics, which means a lot of politicians try to avoid talking about it or touching it because a lot of people in this country feel very passionate about Social Security and what happens to it and how it's attempted to be fixed. So especially during election season, nobody talks about it if they can avoid it. Even during the debates, we saw like Social Security wasn't really mentioned except to say that, it wouldn't be touched maybe. So I do think that there, within all the proposals, there will be middle ground. It's just a matter of when they find that middle ground.
Yeah, Allie, I'm wondering, you look at what we talked about in the first segment, Secure 2.0, and you talk about Social Security, and in my mind, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is I wonder why, to me, Social Security is part of the American retirement system. So why wouldn't there be legislation when you're thinking about this? Now, don't just think about employer-based retirement plans or PEPs or things that kind of expand that, but you got to think about how all these things fit together. Is that, what is your perspective on that? I mean, it just seems like that bills get proposed, they're like little patches, as I said, in the first segment, rather than this holistic or big umbrella approach to saving.
Yeah, so what I've noticed in writing about Social Security the last couple of years is that, like I said before, people are very passionate about Social Security, and they all have very different perspectives on the program. Some people think that it's an absolute necessity, and which it is for a lot of Americans, and others think that it's not supposed to be your retirement security. It's supposed to be that blanket for you, or the cushion that you fall on if something bad happens or you weren't able to save enough for retirement. People do not feel that the one source or a major source of retirement income for you, which is, it's a personal situation. Not everybody's able to save enough. And there are so many challenges that we face as a country and as individuals when it comes to managing money. But Social Security will eventually have to be something that Congress talks about. They are looking at other ways to like build retirement savings and, you know, improve just the current environment for employees and spouses and families when it comes to like saving enough for their own futures. But yeah, I mean, Social Security is a huge component of someone's retirement income for a lot of Americans in this country. So yeah, I think it should definitely be mentioned alongside these other proposals.
Yeah, it just seems to make a lot of sense. And you need that umbrella approach, just in my mind. Well, Ali, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. Really appreciate the conversation. Great analysis. And we look forward to talking to you, as always, in the short future. Thank you.
Bye.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest to someone you think we should talk to? Then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the news in retirement, markets, technology, personal finance, so much more, check out today's edition of The Morning Pulse. So until tomorrow, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes.
Are you being audited? And do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Is the IRS threatening to take more of your money? Don't fight the IRS alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you negotiate your tax bill and reduce your stress. The IRS can freeze your assets and seize your bank accounts, but you can stop these IRS actions. The Tax Doctor will work with you using our years of experience to represent your case to help you get the best resolution under the IRS guidelines. Help is here to deal with the IRS to reduce your stress. We've handled thousands of cases, so we know what we're doing. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, do not call the IRS alone. Call a Tax Doctor now for a tax emergency analysis.
Call 800-224-6439.